ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
That is just a fact of life.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history, Pedro Fernandez.
Woo, it's going to be good.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Often imitated but hardly duplicated 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am the undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio airwaves. I'm also your modest host, as well as a four-time Golden Glove champion and an award-winning boxing writer. So I offer you this opportunity for all the boxing fans out there listening to impart on the show if you like. You can drop in here with the toll-free phone line, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. I've got some texts I got to get to in the show in this hour. Of course, this being the second hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WCTV for the Sunday, of course, August the 21st. Straight up, good fights last night, or were they? The end of the road for Manny Pacquiao, no doubt about that. His time has come and gone. And, you know, like, Father Time remains undefeated. This is nobody beats Father Time, not even Manny Pacquiao, not Floyd Mayweather, not anybody. Of course, Manny Pacquiao wasn't fighting a YouTuber last night. He was fighting a guy named Yordi Ugas. Who's that? Well, he'll be in the Boxing Hall of Fame. Not of maybe Cuba. That's maybe. Bottom line is, his claim to fame was beating a 42-year-old Manny Pacquiao last night. Manny Pacquiao had no legs. He had no snap in his punches. He looked all of 42 years old, no doubt about that. Straight up, time for him to pack it in. Concentrate on politics in the Philippines and, of course, get those people vaccinated over there. Because remember, if you're not vaccinated, it's sort of like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. You don't know what's going to happen. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
A lonely man in a busy world. I try to get ahead, but too many times.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Whoever she may be, look at me.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
12 minutes past the hour, hour number two. Of course, we expect the ambassador of goodwill from the UK, Kenny Rainford, to spend some time with us in about 10 or 15 minutes here on WBC TV. Straight up, I got some texts here. And I guess I'm sort of figuring this one out. Was Donald Curry light in the loafers? Do you mean, was he gay? He never hit on me. I don't know if he was gay, but he did have that light in the loafers look. That's a good way to put it, light in the loafers. Anyway, I never thought he was that great of a fighter. A good amateur, no doubt about that. But I don't think he ever developed into a professional. I just thought, you know, speaking of guys that didn't develop into professionals, some guys are overrated. And one guy that's really overrated is, and I think Rob Hernandez just shot me something here, on Sean O'Grady. Sean O'Grady, of course, was the bubblegum kid. He lost in a bid for the 126-pound title of the WBC against Danny Lopez early on. But, you know, he's 81-5. He's been stopped four times, 70 KOs. But let me tell you, he never fought anybody worth a snot. I mean, worth a snot. The only guy he ever beat that was really world-class was Hilmer Kenty, and he beat him for the title. Hilmer Kenty was with Kronk Jim at the time, and Hilmer was struggling to make 135. In fact, Hilmer went out and screwed around for about 2 weeks before the fight, didn't train too well. Imagine he had problems getting him to the weight. He got to the weight, but he fought like a dead man. And there's no doubt about it, O'Grady won that fight. But from that point forward, Sean O'Grady did nothing, absolutely nothing. He turned on a fight with Claude Noel, this guy from Colombia. Couldn't punch he could punch a little bit, but he had no huevos whatsoever. He had no guts whatsoever. In fact, against Alexis Arguello, Claude Noel quit like a dog. Said, he hit me on the hip. Hey, he quit from a shot on the hip, I kid you not. Anyway, he didn't want to fight Claude Noel. His father, Pat O'Grady, said, no, we're not fighting Claude Noel. We're not going to fight Claude Noel. So he gave up the WBA lightweight crown that he won from Hilmer Kenty, ended up starting his own organization, the WAA, the World Athletic Organization. And for some reason, Pat O'Grady decided to move Sean O'Grady up to 147 pounds, where he lost to guys like Pete Ranzani. I can go on and on. But the bottom line is, he never beat anybody good. In fact, when he fought Andy Gannigan, it was a bit of a, it was like one fight after the, I put it this way. He fights Hilmer Kenty, beats Hilmer Kenty for the world title. Kenty's undefeated in 20 fights, right? Next time out, 4 or 5 months later, he fights a guy that's 8-22. Okay, that's the way Sean did. You look at Sean's record. 1-2, 1-6, 3-4, 25-0-1. Who the hell was that guy? Gonzalo Montiel, who was 25-0-1, fought him in Omaha. Outside of that, he fought Scotty Foreman, was 11-8. I mean, Ramiro Hernandez, 0-4, 7-14, 6-4-2, 2-7. Am I getting the point across here? Sean O'Grady fought nothing but stiffs. In addition to fighting stiffs four or five times, he fought a Mexican national. My computer just started talking to me. He fought a Mexican national in and around Oklahoma, Oklahoma City. The guy, is, we'll say his name was Juan Valdez, like the coffee guy, right? Well, guess what? Juan Valdez was Juan Valdez in Oklahoma City, and he lost to Sean via knockout. Second round knockout, right? Then about 2 weeks later, they're going to fight again in another part of Oklahoma, or maybe Arkansas, or maybe Alabama. But Sean kept fighting the same guy. So he fought the same guy 4 or 5 times. The guy wore different trunks, and the guy's name was different each time, but the result was the same. Okay? Pat O'Grady, Sean O'Grady, of course, they ended up prevailing here. Now, what I want to say is, the Mexican national, after fighting Sean O'Grady 4 or 5 times, he's supposed to get a big fat payday, because, you know, Pat O'Grady's saying, I'll pay you at the end of the route, I'll pay you a lot for all these fights and stuff. So instead of paying the guy, O'Grady calls the immigration on him. This is the days when you call the immigration. Say, hey, I got a wetback over here. They come running for you. They'll bring out the police. Okay, but the cops came and the immigration came. They picked this fighter up. They deported him back to Mexico. He didn't get paid a dime. He was broke. He was penniless, and he fought Sean O'Grady 4 or 5 times. Now Sean's never denied that. I brought it up several times. It's been brought up on the radio. It's been brought up on TV. It's been brought up in his face. Straight to me and him at that card in San Jose, and I talked to him about that. I said, how was that like fighting the same guy 4 or 5 times? He probably played it off. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, he knew exactly what I was talking about. Listen, if you're fighting me, and I'm Pedro Fernandez, and you see what I look like, okay? I mean, and I'm just wearing different trunks, obviously, I'm the same guy. There's no doubt about it. And Sean knew exactly what time it was. Of course, Pat O'Grady, one of the biggest crooks of all time. In fact, I take it back. Sean did fight one other world-class fighter. Yeah, Andy Gannigan. Andy Gannigan came in at a last-minute substitute for Howard Davis. Howard Davis being the 76 star of the Olympic team. He wasn't Sugar Ray Leonard. It was Howard Davis and voted MVP. Anyway, Davis was supposed to fight Sean O'Grady, so Pat O'Grady had this 14 or 15-foot ring made. I think it was like 15-foot. I kid you not. It was like a phone booth, okay? So he had this small ring made for this Oklahoma City arena. So he has the ring made for the fight in the whole nine yards. And then Davis pulls out the last minute, and they're like 5 or 6 days before the fight, they call on Andy Gannigan. Now, Gannigan's one of the hardest punchers in the history of boxing. I mean, yikes. What I saw, Alexis Arguello told me he's never been hit harder by Aaron Pryor or by anybody, and he got hit by Andy Gannigan. I think he and Arguello went at it back in 1981, I believe, at the Aladdin Hotel. But he knocked Arguello down in the second round. He hurt him again in the third round. In that third round against Andy Gannigan, Arguello told me he was seeing 4 or 5 Andy Gannigans. I know what that's like to see multiple guys after getting clocked. Anyway, Andy Gannigan comes in at the last minute, and he mops the floor with Sean O'Grady. In less than 2 rounds, O'Grady's done. His career is over. I think he would come back, and he'll fight like some stiff after that, and then he'd fight John the Heat Venerosa, who was a pretty good guy. Of course, he was a television idol back in the days of Ray Mancini and guys like that. Johnny the Heat Venerosa, and Venerosa beat him bad, really beat him bad, of course, made him retire. So anyway, 82-5 and all in all, 82-5 as a professional, but the bottom line is he fought a lot of bums. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of boxing, MMA. After the break, we take it to the UK and bring in Mr. Kenny Rainford, boxing ambassador of Goodwill. Well, I call him boxing's Elvis Presley. Why is that? I'll tell you after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV on BTV.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
The guitar of Mr. Jerry Cortez, Mighty Tower of Power. That's some of their new stuff on the soul side of town. Check it out, towerofpower.com. Evidently, They don't do records anymore. CDs, they do drops, according to Cuddy. Cuddy's hip on this music thing. I'm not. Bottom line is Tower of Power's got a couple new drops. Check them out at towerofpower.com. Now we take it across the pond to the UK and bring in, of course, the boxing's ambassador of goodwill. I'm talking about Mr. Kenny Rainford. Kenny, how's life treating you? How's the family? Kenny? Oh. Did you hear the frustration there, folks? We'll try to reconnect with Kenny. Bottom line is, Kenny Rainford is our ambassador from the UK. We're trying to do this communication via Skype. It works 99% of the time. That 1% of the time it didn't work, so Scott Cady will try to reconnect with him as I speak. Of course, some upcoming fights as we get ready, as we, wait for Mr. Kenny Rainford. Akeem Ennis Brown and Sam Maxwell. That's the battle of all the UK going next week. Of course, it'll be August 28th. That'll be on BTS Sports. Jake Paul. Remember that clown, the guy that's 3-0 with three knockouts, the guy that couldn't lick a stamp if you wet his tongue? He's a cruiserweight fighting guys like Ben Askren, who never had a fight in his life outside of a wrestling match. So when it came to boxing, he didn't know what he was doing. He couldn't spell box if you gave him the three letters and put them on a piece of paper. Anyway, Askren gets knocked out in like 15 seconds. And so now Jake Paul's going to take on Tyrone Woodley, Tyrone Woodley being the former UFC welterweight champion. Why do these guys want to fight MMA fighters? I just don't get it. I really just don't get it. I really don't. Now, can we go to the UK and on Skype and bring in my man Kenny Rainford? Kenny, you there?
I'm here, buddy. I'm here.
God bless you, man. How's the family?
Oh, the family's great. I just left them before. Everyone's good.
Okay, so tell me about, just talk about your daughter before we get into boxing. Now, she performs on horses. Talk to me about that. I don't know what's the exact word there. I don't know what the exact word is for people that perform on horses.
Well, it is performing on horses. It's, there's different events like jumping, dressage, individual shows, et cetera, but she got to the Horse of the Year, which is like a title fight of year, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
A first time she ever entered into it, and she got into the finals of Horse of the Year show in Birmingham and a big stadium in the UK. It's a big, big, massive weekly event. And she got placed first time ever there, and all the hard work and all the dedication from herself and mom and dad paid off, and we pulled off a great result for her.
You know, moms and dads are so important when it comes to kids' plans and futures and living to their fullest ability. I mean, if you don't have parents that are willing to push you and hold you and coddle you at times when you need to be coddled and that, you're probably not going to raise and you're probably not going to the top of the ladder. Now, let's talk about boxing last night. Of course, Manny Pacquiao, did you stay up to watch that?
I've actually got the fight to replay and watch tonight, but I've heard from various people who are knowledgeable in the sport that said it was a fair decision and that, you know, it was a close decision but a fair decision, and it was a good decision for boxing.
It was a good decision for boxing, but Yuri Urgis, of course, he won't be in the International Boxing Hall of Fame, but Manny Pacquiao will. Of course, not too many guys go out on top. You know, not too many guys go out standing up. At least Manny Pacquiao went out on his feet. He went out vertically. He didn't go out horizontally, you know. I mean, some old guys at the age of 40 and 42, I think of Joe Louis at the age of 38, getting knocked out of the ring by Rocky Marciano. At least it wasn't that type of a loss. And as far as the scores were concerned, I thought 116-112 was about right, 8-4 and 12, if you want to give Manny a couple of close rounds.
Yeah, like I say, you know, great fighter, great history behind him. Will this be his last fight? Well,
I hope so.
I hope so too.
You know, listen, let somebody else take over the mantle. 42 years old. I mean, you've had a good run since 1995. He's a professional. He's won 5 linear titles, 8 different weight classes. I mean, there's not a whole lot more you could do in the world of boxing unless he wants to pocket some more money. Now, had that been Errol Spence last night, he might be in the hospital today. Oh, let's talk about this UK fight next week. The British Commonwealth Super Lightweight title. Let's get this out of the way. Akeem Ennis Brown versus Sam Maxwell. Is Brown the real deal?
I'm not sure at the moment, to be fair. I haven't seen enough of him to make up my mind on it, to be perfectly honest with you. But, you know, this fight answers some questions.
Okay. Sam Maxwell, a decent vote?
Sorry?
Is Sam Maxwell a decent opponent?
As good as it gets for at the minute. As good as it gets for at the minute. But what's intriguing me is the bill after that, which is Conor Benn marching on with his career. You've got Josh Warrington trying to gain that revenge to get a title shot back, and you've also got Katie Taylor putting a title on the line as well. So that looks to me the build to look forward to.
Well, let's talk about Katie Taylor, of course, the world champion. Like, yikes, man, she's the real deal. She can fight, and she's not not bashful.
No, she can fight. Had a real close fight in her last fight, which showed a pedigree and a dedication and a grit. Josh Warrington, I'm not sure about that how that's going to go. You know what I mean? I hope Josh wins, but you know that was a pretty bad defeat that he suffered there.
Yeah. Okay. Do these MMA fights with Jake Paul and that kind of good stuff against Tyron Woodley, it's catching on over here in the United States with squares. And when I say squares, I mean people that are not boxing fans per se. Is this catching on in the UK?
It is. You know, people like a tear up, don't they? And they like blood and guts and everything. But, you know, for me, the only thing that interests me is boxing, you know.
Yeah, but Jake Paul and Tyron Woodley, these guys are actually going to be fighting on Showtime. It's going to be a boxing match, August the 29th, here in the United States, coming to us from the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse in Cleveland, Ohio. But these guys are going to be fighting in a boxing match. Tyron Woodley's a former UFC champion, and Jake Paul's the guy that's like 3-0 with 3 knockouts, fighting guys a whole lot worse than you and me. I tell you what, Kenny, still to this day, I would put you in there with Jake Paul, and I would bet my life on you.
I'm not being funny with you either. I'd jump in the ring with him now, and I think I'd do okay with him.
I just don't. I mean, he has got – you got to give him some props, so he's pulled off this farce. And, of course, Oscar De La Hoya is going to do the same thing with another former MMA fighter, Vitor Belfort, on September the 11th. The last time we really saw Oscar was in fishnets, of course, when he got exposed for being a cross-dresser and that kind of good stuff. But De La Hoya and Belfort – That's not what boxing needs. Boxing needs fights like Oscar Valdez and Robson Canseco, of course. Canseco being the 2000, was he the Pan Am champion? I think he was a Pan Am champion, of course. He beat Oscar Valdez in the amateurs. The guys are going to hook it up for the world 130-pound championship on September the 10th on ESPN. Now, who shows the ESPN fights in the UK?
ESPN. We get ESPN, ESPN in the UK.
Okay, so what's happening now with Sky Sports? Does Sky Sports have any boxing anymore?
It does, but it's been diluted an awful lot, you know. It's been, you know, obviously Eddie Hearn, he's with DAZN, and he pulls the tricks now. And you've got Frank Warren, who's tied in with BT Sports. So at the moment, Sky Sports, they're pretty much in the boxing game. They're pretty much struggling, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I was hoping they were going to take on a friend of mine, Steve Woods, to put their shows. He runs VIP Boxing. I was hoping he was going to take over the mantle. He's a busy promoter with some decent fighters. I was hoping they were going to, you know, employ his services and showcase some of his bills, but it never happened. So maybe someone making decisions in Sky doesn't know their boxing well.
We've seen that with decisions and network. I remember the people at USA decided they were going to get rid of USA Tuesday Night Fights. It was one of the leading programs on their network. It scored the top ratings on Tuesday night from at 9 o'clock, I kid you not, and they got rid of it because the network president that took the job, she was a female, and she didn't want to have boxing on her network. I kid you not!
Yeah, and Pedro, in February 1993, I was on Tuesday Night Fights.
And, you know, Dave Jacobs was the executive producer, I believe, at that point in time, and of course, O'Grady and one of the Albert brothers handled it, but it was a place to go every Tuesday night for a boxing fan. And when USA took that away, just because the female CEO decided, I don't like boxing. And they told her, look, it's a winning program. It's given us great ratings. She goes, we can do better with something else. So they replaced it with a movie. Yeah.
Crazy.
They replaced it with a movie. Anyway, pound for pound, does Oleg Usyk have a shot when he challenges Anthony Joshua in a few weeks?
No, I think he pulls out an early lead. I think he shows his stuff early on, and I think Joshua just mauls him down and wears him down and eventually stops him probably 9-10 rounds, somewhere around there, I think.
But is Usyk a sharpshooter enough to where he could shoot that left cross or a right cross in between Joshua's gloves and catch him on the chin? He seems to be able to place, he has good punch placement, Usyk does.
Yeah, but he struggled with Chisora. That's the thing that's got me alarmed.
Okay.
You know.
And Chisora, of course, the UK workhorse, no doubt about that. Now, Tyson Fury, what's happening with Tyson Fury? You work with some people in his camp. What's he doing?
I just got off the phone to one of them, funny enough. He's just working out. He's very, very disillusioned and annoyed, obviously, about the decisions that have been made recently. And he's just trying to work things out. He's still training. He was on his Facebook the other day running through a council estate, having fun with everyone. He's just ticking over doing what Tyson does, you know.
But do we have a date on that fight at all? Is it set? Is it not going to happen? What's going on with him?
Well, I'll know that shortly. I'm going to speak to his agent again shortly. So I'll update you on that when I speak to him, and he'll tell me exactly where we're up to with that. It's got to come off soon. There's no two ways about it. I mean, they've just been stalling the guy and putting him in a pasture field to graze for too long now. Something's got to happen. Something's got to break, and it's got to happen.
You know, I'm going to go off subject just for a second. I think that, you know, I have some friends of mine that listen to the show, and I'm not going to name them, okay? But they won't take the vaccine. So I think that not taking the vaccine is sort of like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. Can you see the comparison there?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I just can't believe it. I mean, these are people that I've known for a long time, and they don't want to talk to me. I mean, they don't want to pick up the phone. They're like, it's like I've got cooties because I'm vaccinated.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. Anyway, pound for pound, what do you think of David Benavidez?
I like him. I think he's good. Yeah, I'm impressed with him.
Okay. Do you think he's be the guy, the heir apparent to Canelo Alvarez for the Mexican crown?
Canelo Alvarez, that's a big set of boots and a big set of gloves to replace, you know?
Okay.
I mean, Canelo's only ever lost one fight, that was to Floyd Mayweather. You know, has he improved since the Mayweather fight?
Definitely.
I don't know. He's a great fighter. And you can't take that away from him. So they're maybe too early to replace him just yet.
Okay, do Ernie Shavers have a birthday of late?
31st of August, just coming up.
Just coming up. How old will he be?
Ernie will be 78, I believe. He was born in 1944, so he's 78 coming up.
You know, the hardest puncher in boxing, and yet he's like a teddy bear. I mean, he's like a soft little guy. I mean, he really is. I mean, the hardest puncher in boxing, and I expected him to, when I interviewed him the first time, I expected him to come off like tough and it was doing the exact opposite. He was the most lovable, likable guy, like he was like a puppy.
I don't know if you've got enough time, but I can tell you a true story about Ernie. I can tell you.
Run it off in 2 minutes. Let's go.
Okay. Right, me and Ernie's working in a wine bar in Liverpool many years ago now. And these big, big guys turn up. Huge guys, like weightlifters. Anyway, they're all over Ernie. Ernie Shavers, greatest punch ever. All getting photographs taken, this, that, and the other. An hour later, they cause trouble in the bar. We get them outside. We say, listen, guys, you can't do that. You've got to go. So they're outside. One of the guys tries to pick a fight with Ernie. I pulled Ernie backwards. This big guy, the biggest one of us, got Ernie by the shoulder going, this is the greatest punch in history. Leave this guy alone. Don't start trouble with him. Kapow! Steals a right-hand shot on Ernie. Unbelievable shot.
Sucker shot.
Sucker shot, yeah. Ernie touches down with one knee, jumps back up, never even took a one count. By the time 60 seconds were over, there was 8 bodies flat out all over the floor.
Wow.
He knocked every single one out.
Wow.
Every single one. When the police came, they said, "What happened here?" I said, "Oh, they got in a fight with some people, and you know, they've all left. As long as you're okay, Mr. Shavers, that's fine."
All right. Well, Kenny, always a pleasure, man. Say hello to the family. I thank you for your time. No doubt about that. You are like boxing goodwill ambassador, man, and we feel blessed to have you when we do.
No problem at all. Always glad to help.
Yeah, and he stays up late for us too, folks. He's in the UK. Thank you so much, Kenny Rainford. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide at WBC TV. Of course, coming to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 217, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iTunes, Stitcher.com. Can I keep going? Bottom line is we are live on Twitch.tv, Sports Byline USA Channel, and VTV, the WBC TV channel. You are tuned to Ring Talk, but you know that.
The fire got so high. Sky, don't you know? But can I tell you something?
Huh?
I play high school football.
Mm-hmm.
Football is that's a tough sport. Compared to boxing, it's much tougher than boxing. I mean, I enjoy it while I'm playing it, but it's a tough, tough sport. I thank God that I did play while I started boxing. When I got tired from working hard, I fell off of football days. I kept it on going.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
Ernie Shavers, the hardest puncher in boxing, no doubt about that. George Foreman told me that, Larry Holmes told me that you can see his punches coming and they still knock you down. In other words, most guys that knock me down, there were three or four guys that knocked me down, always knocked me down with hooks. Never got hit with a direct shot, like a right hand coming at me or a left hand coming at me. It was always hooks from the side. Somehow I got susceptible. Some of those right hooks from the southpaw, nasty. Anyway, the bottom line is, Larry told me that you can see Ernie's punches coming at you. So when you brace for it, you know, you can brace for it. This thing, you think, yeah, you know, I can deal with it. No, you can't deal with it. He still knocks you down. Bottom line is, that's how hard he hits. Turned pro in 1969, retired in 1995, 74-14, 68 KOs. He stopped 7 times and had 1 draw. Of course, a challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship against the great Larry Holmes. May Larry, I talked to him, I guess, about 10 days ago. He was rocking and rolling in Easton, Pennsylvania, still the mayor of Easton, no doubt about that, the unelected mayor. Of course, when people tell me, where's Larry Merchant's file? What's Larry Holmes' office number? I tell them, call the mayor's office in Easton, Pennsylvania. And of course, I guess they have got a few calls over the years. Bottom line is, I miss Larry. Let's talk about the UFC on ESPN last night. Now, you know I'm Dana White's biggest fan. Not. I wish Dana White would just, like, disappear, go away. But then again, they just get another guy to replace Dana White. You know what I'm saying? Because Dana White, in my opinion, is the greatest exploitator of humans on the planet. I mean, as I said before, when I worked as a cop in San Francisco, I knew some pimps. Pimps, you know, guys that had hookers on the street. So they had sex workers on the street. Now, if they were paying their sex workers what Dana White's paying his fighters, the sex workers will be on the first Greyhound bus to Cleveland, Ohio, or Denver. Colorado. I kid you. They'd be out of town in a minute because you can't expect anybody to work for 8 or 10 cents on the dollar, maybe even 15 cents on the dollar. But guess what? That's what Dana's paying those guys. At the very most, it's 15 to 18%. I've seen these different estimates. And Dana's come up and said, well, I won't argue with you if you say we pay 18%. So 18% in the NBA, I think it's a 50-50 type of split. In the National Football League, I think it's a 50-50 type of split. Now, I'm not trying to say they need to go 50-50 with the UFC, but, man, the UFC made $290 million last year. They grossed $290 million. And only 8 to 10% of that went to paying for the fighters. In other words, when these guys have these fights, and I try to tell you, I mean, I'll go through this card here, and there's a couple guys that aren't going to be able to fight or look right for a while, and what do they get, like 10 grand? You get 10 grand, you get destroyed, you can't mumble in for like 4 or 5 months, your ears ringing, this and that. Bottom line is, these UFC fights produce injuries that we've never seen before. Maybe you've been in an emergency room, like a trauma center, like SF General, Mission Emergency, something like that. You've seen injuries like that coming in, but not usually in the combat sports world. Okay, not from boxing anyway. But this is like people kicking each other, kneeing each other, choking each other out. Anyway, I'll get to last night's results. The UFC from the Apex Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. Of course, that's their little arena. Jared Cariner won a decision over Kelvin Gastelum. Gastelum was lost like 9 of his last 12 fights, at least 9 of something like that. Anyway, had a bad, bad roll and never seen him recover. Mark Madsen beat Clay Guida. Clay Guida's got to be about 95 years old. That's how bad the UFC is hurting for personnel. That they're grabbing up, they're digging up guys like that were like 2 or 3 years ago were fighting in semi-main events. Clay Guida, I kid you not. He's always a tough guy, but way past the speaking. Guida got beat by a split decision. Parker Porter, he beat Chase Sherman. Who's that? I don't know. Bottom line is all these guys you just don't know about. You don't know them because the UFC is really hurting for names. In fact, I'm looking at down the card. This was one woman's fight on the card. Josiane Nunes, sounds like she's from Brazil, beat Bea Malecki. That was a KO, a first-round punch, 4 minutes and 54 seconds. And outside of that, I don't see nothing on that card that jumps out. And the UFC, of course, is hurting. Dana White suffered one of his worst humiliations as far as pay-per-view sales were concerned last week, of course, when he put on that UFC interim heavyweight bout. Of course, the UFC heavyweight champion is Francis Ngannou. Every MMA fighter in the world knows that. I mean, without a doubt, Ngannou's the man. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It was sort of like Like, who's the president? The president's Joe Biden. It's like, who's the chairman of the UFC? The chairman of the UFC is Francis Ngannou. Anyway, Dana White didn't want to pay him the money he was supposedly wanted. So, you know, Ngannou plays hardball. Dana plays hardball. Dana ends up coming up with a interim title fight. He's got two champions now in the heavyweight division. Good luck with that one. But again, Dana White does the way he does things the way he wants. So he's just a pimp, and I'm just not into him whatsoever. I'm looking at the rest of the UFC card for the rest of the year. Nothing jumps out except the UFC 268. Of course, Alexander Volkanovski, the world featherweight champion, a monster, no doubt about that, taking on the pretty boy from L.A., the once beaten Brian Ortega. Brian Ortega, look, he fought so... They used to say, I can't say that on the air. They used to compare, Richard Pryor used to compare Sugar Ray Robinson as a fighter, but I can't use that comparison on the air. I just couldn't do it. But that's how pretty Brian Ortega was. I mean, he was pretty. He could fight. He was articulate. He was setting up charity events and little, foundations, amateur foundations, backing amateur athletes, backing poor people, feeding people in East LA, the whole nine yards. He was going to be the next poster boy, not only for the world of MMA, but the world of combat sports at large. He was going to be like Manny Pacquiao in the Philippines in LA. Okay. More power to him. But then again, he got into a fight with Max Holloway. And of course, Max was a champion at that point in time. And I thought that Brian had a good chance of winning, but he wasn't a, you know, no cinch domino. Nobody's ever a cinch with Max Holloway. So Max Holloway starts beating on Brian Ortega. He cuts him over one eye. He cuts him so bad, it was just one of those horrible, horrible wounds. I mean, it was a wound. It wasn't a cut. It was a wound, okay? And he's bleeding like a sieve. So they let him bleed for a couple of rounds. He can't see out of the eye, and he can't get beating on it. He keeps getting beat on. Max Holloway's beating on him like, you know, like one of those timbale players, like Roberto Duran playing the timbales, I kid you not, just beating on him like a drum, time and time again, and it went like went into the fourth round, and these are 5-minute rounds, this guy's getting killed, nobody wanted to help him out, all three entities that are put in position to save his life, to prevent him from getting hurt, all three entities failed him, the referee, he should be arrested for impersonating an official, the corner man, this is a guy that's supposed to have your best interest at hand. This is a guy that's supposed to be your father. You know, I mean, this is the guy that tells you, no more tonight. If you've gotten beat up, no more tonight. We'll stop. We'll come back another day. But they didn't do that with Brian Ortega. The corner failed him. The referee failed him. And most importantly, the doctor failed him. The doctor didn't stop the fight. They ended up stopping the fight in the corner. They ended up stopping the fight in the corner. In other words, the doctor really didn't jump in and stop the fight. The doctor had the opportunity, the referee had the opportunity, the corner had the opportunity, and they just let this guy go out and continue to take more of a beating. He has a fight, I think, since that fight. It was over, it'll be 2 years, I believe, or maybe almost three, but 2 years in December. It'll be 2 years in December since he fought Max Ortega. At the end of the day, Brian Ortega is damaged goods. Co-feature UFC 268, Valentina Shevchenko going to take on Lauren Murphy. That's a women's flyweight bout. That's going to be a championship bout. I believe, yeah, it is a championship bout at 125 pounds. Nick Diaz. That's right. Nick Diaz is back. Of course, a kid from Stockton, California. He's been on the show in the past. He saw my wall of fame out here. Nick Diaz, the bad boy of boxing, bad boy of MMA, the bad boy period. I'll never forget when the MMA world was going to go on CBS television about 8 or 10 years ago. And they had a card on TV, and they're putting it up for ratings. They're figuring out how these ratings are. So they're ready to sign this contract, and I think it was with Bellator. And then Nick Diaz and his brother, Nick and Nate Diaz, got into a fight and started a riot on TV. Riot on CBS television. So CBS canceled their foray into the world of mixed martial arts because of the Diaz brothers. But Nick Diaz coming back against Robbie Lawler. Two old guys getting on at welterweight. Good luck on that one. Curtis Blaydes is back as a heavyweight, taking on Javis Singh. I always thought this guy was a mark. Javicento Rosenitruk. He's a big, tall guy, good kickboxer, but I think he's a mark in the world of the UFC. Jessica Andrade is going to be on the card. She's a flyweight, and she can fight, no doubt about it. Taking on Silvia Calvello. I thought they fought before. Anyway, Marion Moraes is going to be on the card. Taking on Murab Divishil. Divishil supposedly can fight. Moraes has got better times, I think. Outside of that, there's nobody else on the card. Straight up, the UFC is hurting for personnel. And, of course, doing that thing on pay-per-view last week with the interim title did nothing for him. It was the worst pay-per-view numbers he's had in years. And what can I say? I got to celebrate. When Dana White takes it on the chin, we celebrate around here. Sorry, this is the way it is. Anyway, as far as the rest of the schedule is concerned, Dana White and his schedule suck. It just, there's nothing happening. Pound for pound in the world of boxing, Saul Alvarez, obviously still the champion, no doubt about that. Pound for pound king. What is he, 56-1, that one loss to Floyd Mayweather when he had two left feet? And take it, he had two left feet. He couldn't move. He was such a limited fighter back then. And of course, Mayweather took the payday because he realized he could fight this Mexican superstar at that point in time, the Julio Cesar Chavez, the up-and-coming Julio Cesar Chavez of Mexico. He could fight him at a point where he was still green like guacamole. And that's what Canelo was at night. But he's had the... They had one loss, and of course he had one draw before that, and the one draw, of course, to Gennady Golovkin. Speaking of Golovkin, 41-1-1, where is he? He should be on the side of milk cartons. He should be missing in action. Where are you, Triple G? I mean, you're, what is he? He's 39 years old, man! 39 years old! You'll be 40 if you know it. You saw what happened to Manny Pacquiao last night. You need to take the advantage of your youth while you can. Anyway, also on the pound-for-pound list, Errol Spence, of course, he bruised with the bruised retina, 27-0, had some surgery this past week. Of course, coming to us from Southside of DeSoto, a.k.a. Dallas, Texas, the welterweight champion of the WBC. The number four guy, according to the box rec here, is Anthony Joshua, and we'll pass on him. Terrence Crawford, the greatest fighter to ever come out of Omaha, Nebraska, which says nothing. Okay, you know, Socrates Palmer thinks he's top three fighters in the world. Hector Martinez thinks he's one of the top three fighters in the world. Why do they think that when he really hasn't really fought a whole lot of guys? I mean, he told me, like 3 or 4 years ago in Cuba, I keep repeating the story, but Crawford told me, I want to be known as one of the great fighters. I said, what do you mean great fighters? He goes, great like Leonard, like Duran, like Hagler, like Hearns, like those guys. I want to be like those guys. Well, you can't be like those guys fighting the guys that he wants to fight. You just can't. I mean, there was a chance for him to step up and fight Errol Spence. They could have done this fight a few months ago. Maybe Spence's eye would have popped up then. But bottom line is they could have done this fight. But Terrence Crawford said, no, I won't take 40%. I want 60%. I won't take 50%. They want to do it at 50-50. Spence said, cool, I'm cool on 50-50. What's his name said, no, I'm not cool on 50-50. I want 60-40 anyway. Anyway, Terrence Crawford negotiated himself out of a fight. Bottom line is, I don't think he really wants to fight anybody. And now at 147 pounds, I think he's looking for easy paydays. Now, people are going to get mad at me for saying that, but it's just the way it is. I mean, who has he beaten? Sean Porter? Speaking of Sean Porter, Sean's seen better days. Well, not about that. Teofimo Lopez, the world lightweight champion. What's happening with Tio? Of course, the man that shocked the world when he took Vasily Lomachenko, just took him apart. That was in October of last year, just took him apart. Of course, a 12-round decision, no doubt about that. Lomachenko now 14-2, but the undefeated lightweight champion, 16-0, had some COVID issues, in the camp. He's supposed to take on this guy, that guy. Now it's off again, so the bottom line is he has no fight scheduled, and this is bad for him because I don't think he's the most disciplined guy in the world. I mean, after that last fight with Lomachenko, he got real fat. I could tell he got fat, he got heavy, the skin around his ears was starting to hang down, so he got heavy, okay? And of course he knocked off the weight and he got himself in shape and the fights didn't happen, but the bottom line is, I think he may have a discipline problem. And he's a young dude, man. He's like 24 years old. And if you got a discipline problem at 24, what does that mean for the rest of your career? You are tuned to Ring Talk Live worldwide and of course WBC TV. Speaking of WBC, you can check out the WBC's interactive website at WBCboxing.com. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, but hey, you know that. Just what
to do. I'm great. Thank you, Pedro. I'm great. I feel great. You offered me fruit from the tree, just like the story of Adam and Eve. Perfect love was all that I was living for.
I went to penitentiary. Gene Wilder, I did a movie. I went to, not me personally. I mean, I went to do a film in penitentiary. and I was up there 6 weeks, Arizona State Penitentiary. It was something. Oh, you're applauding for that? Arizona State Penitentiary, real popular. Oh, man, it was strange because it was like 80% black people. And what's strange about that is that there are no black people in Arizona.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Clap your hands, sir. Stop being racist. Clap your hands.
Okay, let's go.
Wrapping up another two-hour edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV on the WBC TV channel, of course, brought to you by Veev.tv. Check them out. We're rocking and rolling 24/7. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I thank you so much for tuning in. But I do want to mention this. There was a scary moment Saturday night when unbeaten featherweight Mark Magaiso knocked out Julio Say in the 10th round of WBC featherweight title eliminator. According to WBC president Mauricio Suleiman, he said that Seha's status from the doctor, he said he spoke with Dwayne Ford, who supervised last night's fight, and has been in close contact with Bob Bennett about Julio Seha, and the report is favorable as there's no brain bleed but an orbital fracture. In other words, he broke this bone in his face, but the bottom line is there's no brain bleed, right on the Nevada State Athletic Commission jumping in there right when they should have. Man, you know, brain bleeds, people say to me, oh, what's a brain bleed? Brain bleed's a concussion. You never want to have your brain bleed if it's avoidable. In fact, concussions, that's what leads to being punch drunk. Concussions on top of concussions, that's what happens to fighters in the gym. Too many guys I saw over the years when I was growing up would get dropped in the gym, get knocked out in the gym, and the next day they'd be boxing again. Concussion on concussion. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 37, make that 38 plus years now. Your inside look into the world of boxing. Of course, we are brought to you by the World Boxing Council, President Mauricio Suleiman. You can check out their website, their interactive website. They got a lot of stuff going on, WBCBoxing.com. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank my producer, Scott Cuddy, of course, and thank Kenny Rayford, my man, the great ambassador from the UK. Until next week, keep your hands up, keep your chin down, but most of all, don't forget, Ring Talk Live Worldwide 24/7. This is your inside look in the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. Veev TV Live!